access to capital and investments for minority-owned businesses, and strategies to combat displacement, and the participation in sustainable initiatives. This model reinstills community pride through a collective design process and stewardship of the park. We thank the Trust for Public Land for their hard work so far, and we support the efforts of the One Parque, One Modelo Coalition and urge city leadership to support the zoning change and to adapt the park model. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Mayor Harrells, Commissioner, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Alan Hipolito. I work for Verde. We're a Cully neighborhood nonprofit. We serve communities by building environmental wealth through social enterprise outreach and advocacy. Across from Colwood, we are building Cully Park in partnership with the city. I'm here as a part of this One Park, One Model coalition to express our unqualified support for the zoning change of the northern 48 acres of the Colwood site. I'm also here to express our thanks to the Trust for Public Land. We greatly appreciate the hard work and the many hours spent on this project because, per page 10 of the recommendations, the approval of this application will allow TPL to work with other stakeholders to acquire the remaining 90 acres of the golf course for community parks, trails, and open space. And so I am here also to comment on the language presented in the recommendations regarding criteria to urban development and specifically policy 2.6. The report states, again, that the applicant states that this proposal will set up the opportunity for TPL to work with stakeholders to acquire the remaining 90 acres of the golf course for community space, and that TPL has expressed its desire to work with city agencies and stakeholders to address the recreation and health needs of the Cully neighborhood and the larger regional area. Verde testified about this issue on the record at the June 12th hearing, and together with Hacienda CDC and the Native American Youth and Family Center, submitted additional written comments on June 26th. Thus, I'm here specifically to comment on the opportunity for TPL to work with stakeholders. We have a vision for this stakeholder process, and it is based on our values, values that are reflected in the comprehensive plan, resolutions of the Portland Parks Board, and are certainly in the bundle of motivations that make public service the reason we get up in the morning. Community, economic vitality, transparency, diversity, stability, accountability. Our vision for the stakeholder process is also based on power, and I'm speaking about a vision for a stakeholder process that is based on the value of shared power. Almost 2 years ago, Verde came to you on behalf of the Let Us Build Cully Park Coalition and offered to share power to design and build Cully Park, the power of the students in the neighborhood to imagine park improvements, the muscle of workers and contractors, and fundraising capacity. We did that. We're doing a lot of good stuff together with the Parks Bureau, with transportation, and with environmental services. Last year alone, we involved 324 community members in the design of the park, including 126 youth, 143 low-income people, 231 people of color, and have raised almost $3 million for that park. So when we speak in support today, we say we support the zoning change and we have a vision for the stakeholder process that's contemplated, and we bring this offer to share power at Colwood and bring a new asset to the community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor Harrells, thank you, members of the commission. My name is Victor Brissett, Executive Director of Hacienda CDC, and I think this project comes to our community at a propitious time. We're developing quite a bit of housing in the Northeast Killingsworth and Cully neighborhood. As you know, Hacienda is one of the largest CDCs in the city of Portland. We own just under 400 units of affordable housing, primarily in the Cully-Killingsworth area. We're worth close to $100 million in terms of net assets. We reinvest in the community. The resources we have are specifically targeted to our population, the Latino population. We're in support of the zoning change. We think that there are many opportunities to get involved in these processes as it evolves and you go through different iterations. We believe that TPL has presented a good proposal for this community. I've worked with TPL in the past in my days in the South Bronx, as well as a funder with the local foundation here in Portland. We think that the issues around utilizing the model that Verde and the coalition that we're a member of have developed is one that we think will work very well in our community, particularly as it brings jobs to our residents in the Killingsworth Cully neighborhood. So we stand here to support the application and the zoning change. Thank you.
Thank you all. Thanks very much.
Okay.
The next three are Ray Espana, Rich Gunderson, and Don Tarbutton. They'll be followed by John Ostar, Midge Purcell, and Kate Allen.
Rich, why don't you go ahead while the others are getting settled?
Okay. I'm Richard Gunderson, 5717 Northeast 55th Avenue in the Cully neighborhood. I sit on the board of the Neighbors Association, Cully Association of Neighbors, and my main responsibility is parks and open space. I'm going to be repetitive, and Irwin always stole my thunder, but just wanted to pass on that the not only the board, but the total membership voted unanimously for the rezone. And secondly, I'd like to thank the Trust for Public Land and Don Goldberg in particular. Thank you.
Thank you. Ray, go ahead.
Yes, Mayor Hales, Commissioners, it's a blessing to be with you all today again. I'm Ray Espana. I direct community development for the Native American Youth and Family Center, known as NAYA. And I just want to be sure that I'm speaking on behalf of Matt and our board in endorsing and supporting the zoning change that you're considering, and so we're in full support. We also give much respect and recognition to Mr. Goldberg and TPL for their effort and all the other stakeholders that kind of brought this proposal forward. We do agree that it is a balanced approach, and for not to repeat other comments, I think it's an important investment, and I think the potential for community benefit is real. I think it's going to require our diligence to make sure that the deliverables do benefit our local community. We stand as a stakeholder and part of the coalition that is bringing forward the One Park, One Model Modelo project. We're a signatory to the efforts to create these environment investments as an anti-poverty strategy. And I just want to be clear that I communicate directly to you that we're at NAYA in full support of our effort and your efforts to move this forward. So it's a blessing to be with you today.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. John, welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Don Tarbutton. I'm a resident of the Cully neighborhood. I live in a proud ground land trust unit within Columbia Eco Village, and I'm a member of the Living Cully Community Advisors. I'm here today to express my support for the zoning change that will permit the land now known as the Colwood Golf Course to be divided into an approximately 50-acre employment zone and retain the remaining 90-acre parcel as open space. It's my hope that it would develop into a community park, adapting the very successful Let Us Build Cully Park model that a previous speaker just spoke about. This best practices model, which was implemented, as he said, at the city's Cully Park property directly across Columbia Boulevard from Colwood, educates youth, advances the environment, involves hundreds of community members in park design, and creates local jobs and diverse contracting opportunities. I enjoy living in the Cully neighborhood, and much of that feeling of satisfaction comes from the effort I see going into community empowerment, community involvement in projects like Cully Park. I strongly believe that this is a model that should be replicated in other investments in coming into Cully. The reason I accepted the invitation to become a member of Cully Living of the Living Cully Advisors is because of my concern for the displacement of low-income people in Cully, and that repeating the Cully Park model at Colwood is one way that the city can partner with the community to prevent that displacement. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next three are John Ostar, Midge Purcell, and Kate Allen, and they'll be followed by Tony DeFalco, Bob Solinger, and Ty Schwefferman.
Mayor Hales, Commissioners, good afternoon. Excuse my voice. I'm just coming over a little sickness, so I'll try to be brief. My name is Jonathan Oster. I'm the director of Opal Environmental Justice Oregon. We're a community-based organization building power for environmental justice and civil rights in our communities. We're aligned with Verde and with the broader coalition, with Hacienda and with NAYA, in this effort to extend the One Park, One Model approach to the Colwood Park. Because ultimately it's a fight for environmental justice and for self-determination. And briefly, environmental justice is the fair treatment and equal protection and involvement of all people, regardless of race, color, national origin, and income, in environmental decisions that affect their lives, where we live, work, play, and pray. And what Verde is doing in Cali with their partners is really the epitome of this work. You won't find better bang for your buck in terms of base building and community empowerment than what's happening in Cali right now. And all too often in environmental justice work, we are playing defense. We are fighting the bad things that are trying to be put into our communities. And here's an example of community coming together and saying, we want to create these environmental assets. We want to bring these environmental benefits to our community. And we should be doing everything we can to partner with them and encourage those kinds of efforts. So we support the zoning change. It will bring economic benefit to the neighborhood. It'll bring environmental assets, and it'll increase quality of life and social capital in the community. And we hope that the city supports this effort. Thank you.
Thank you. Question?
No, I just wanted, before you acknowledge Kate Allen, I'd like to embarrass her for a second. Kate, as my colleagues know, recently retired after a long and distinguished career of city service, working on issues of housing for low-income Portlanders. And her record of accomplishment really would take all afternoon to go through them, but from aligning our tax abatement policies with our jurisdictional values to working through some of the toughest projects that this city has faced during the worst economic downturn of my lifetime, I just wanted to take this moment, because we didn't get a chance to formally do this before, Mayor, to thank Kate for her incredible service. And would it be appropriate for us to give her a round of applause on her retirement?
Thank you. Well, how do you follow that?
That's
what would you like, Ms. Allen?
Thank you so much, Kate Allen, here today as a newly minted private citizen and a proud member of the Verde Board of Directors. I joined the Board of Verde several years ago because I strongly support Verde's mission of serving communities by building environmental wealth through social enterprise, outreach, and advocacy. As you know, Verde is a strong supporter to the zoning change in front of you today. Verde supports the zoning change and has organized many others to do the same, a broad and diverse coalition of groups here speaking with you today. With regard to the stakeholder engagement process described in the hearing officer's recommendation, our request is that the city work with the One Park, One Model Coalition, inclusive of Verde, Hacienda, CDC, NEA, and many other important community partners, to adapt the Let Us Build Cully Park model by developing a public-private partnership for the acquisition, design, and construction of Colwood's southern parcel. Because that model offers deep and replicable benefits to the community, it is directly related to recent strategic planning that Verde has done to strengthen its partnerships, both with community members and with the public sector. And because Verde has invested in the internal capacities, our financial management, social enterprise, data management, funded by strong community partners such as Meyer Memorial Trust, the Cerdna Foundation, Paul Allen Foundation, all that investment needed to do the work with city and other stakeholders to deliver this kind of environmental infrastructure to low-income communities and to make sure that those dollars find their way into the pockets of low-income people, people of color, and the businesses they work for or own. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate. Thanks.
Thank you. I was going to jump in. Following Kate Allen is something that I didn't look forward to, but Mayor and Commissioners, my name is Mitch Purcell, and I'm the Director of Advocacy and Public Policy for the Urban League of Portland. And I'm here today also to support the rezoning proposal for Colwood Golf Course as an important step forward in bringing more open and green spaces to the Cully neighborhood. And I'd like to add my commendation to the Trust for Public Land for advocating for the transfer of the remaining 90 acres of Colwood Golf Course southern parcel for this purpose. But as in everything, the devil is in the detail. And I would like to echo my colleagues' urgence that you consider stakeholder involvement. In particular, I urge the city to work with our community partners, Verde, Hacienda, and NEA, to adapt their Lesbo Cully Park model to this project. And why is the Urban League, why does this matter to the Urban League? I think that the One Model, One Park Coalition is an incredible example of community building. And it's an example, I think, that benefits us all. Through my involvement in the comprehensive plan, I've sat on a number of infrastructure planning discussions and mapping exercises to know that the Cully neighborhood is a future risk for gentrification and displacement. And it is exactly this kind of community building that is the best defense against displacement. It's a model of how we create strong communities, how we create jobs and opportunity for contracting and wealth creation for low-income people and people of color. I think that we've learned through other misguided development projects that we really, really have to guard against displacement and gentrification. So this is a project that had civic engagement and community participation at its heart. Not to mention, it's an opportunity to put active living and into practice as a guard against obesity and promoting better health outcomes. But most of all, I think that the One Park, One Model coalition model is one that works and that should be replicated. So I urge the Portland Parks Department and the Trust for Public Land to make the One Park, One Model central to your plans going forward. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Next three are Tony DeFalco, Bob Solinger, and William Saunders. And they'll be followed by Jason Miner, Casey Jama, and Donita Fry.
Good afternoon. Tony, I think you're on first.
Thank you. This morning, we my name is Tony DeFalco. I work for Verde. This morning, we sent a letter to you, Mr. Mayor, and commissioners, signed by 41 organizations and one individual. And so I'm just going to read the names of the organizations into the record. Commissioner Loretta Smith, District 2, Multnomah County. And these are all in support of the zoning change, in support of thanking TPL for their hard work, and in support of seeking a commitment from you, the Portland City Council, to adapt the Let Us Build Cully Park model to the Colwood site. Thousand Friends of Oregon, Asian Family Center, Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon, the Center for Diversity and the Environment, the Center for Intercultural Organizing, Coalition of Communities of Color, Coalition for a Livable Future, COLIS Construction, Community Transitional School, Cully Community Market, El Programa Hispano, Emerald Cities Portland, Emma's Garden, Farmworker Housing Development Corporation, Friends of Trees, Groundwork Portland, Habitat for Humanity Portland Metro, Hacienda CDC, Helens View Heights Homeowners Association, Indigenous Nation Studies at Portland State University, Kairos PDX, Latino Network, Minority Contractor Improvement Partnership, the National Association of Minority Contractors, Oregon, the Native American Youth and Family Center, Northeast Emergency Food Program, OPAL, Orange SPLOT, Oregon Environmental Council, Oregon Tradeswomen Incorporated, the Portland African American Leadership Forum, Portland Community Reinvestment Initiative, Portland Youth and Elders Council, Probity Builders and Best HQ, Rigler School, Rose CDC, Scott School, Self Enhancement Incorporated, Urban League of Portland, Verde, and Vos. And to our recollection, this is one of the most diverse groups of people that have been supported, that have come to you in support of a land use zoning decision. Thank you.
Thank you.
Could I just clarify? I know you speak for Verde and you read those other organizations. For Verde, this is on the zone change and the comprehensive plan map amendment. Do you support that regardless of who gets to develop it later?
For the northern parcel?
For the subject today is the zone change. Zone change on the northern parcel and the proposed mitigation on the southern part. Is that, do you support that?
We strongly support the zoning change.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and members of the City Council. My name is Bob Salinger. I'm the Conservation Director for Portland Audubon Society. We're here today to testify in support of the zoning change. We have advocated for the protection of Colwood Golf Course for the last several years, and we opposed the proposal in 2008 because we felt it went way too far in terms of converting open space to industrial land. We think this proposal makes a lot more sense, and we're here to strongly support it today. And we particularly appreciate the work of Don Goldberg and Trust for Public Land, and also Geoff Roach, the former director who's in the background here today. And we're supporting it because the majority of the property is going to be protected permanently as open space in one of the most underserved neighborhoods in the city. It's going to permanently protect the most important natural resources on this property, and we think on the balance this makes sense. This project brings to fruition the vision of the Olmsteads from their park report from 1903, where they talked about the fact that no other form of park has ever proved so attractive and useful to the masses of people as the Meadow Park. They also called, by the way, to properly provide for the future. Remember, this was 100 years ago. In the matter of a Meadow Park, it is necessary to secure many hundred, if not several thousand acres along the slough. Again, many hundred, if not several thousand, several hundred, several thousand acres. By the way, they were very prescient in the sense that they also noted that it is possible that the golf could occur on this site, but it may not retain its popularity in so many years. I read that because I want to note the fact that we actually really have downgraded and discounted our expectations. They talked about many hundred, if not thousands, of acres 100 years ago. Today, the population around this area has exploded, one of the most underserved, underparked neighborhoods in the city, and we are happy, we are thankful, we truly are thankful, for 90. And so our comments come with some caveats. We're very supportive, but we need to be careful. When we talk about compromise, we always talk about compromise in open space. We don't talk about compromise on industrial lands. And if you keep cutting the land in half, eventually you're not going to have very much left. So this is, to us, is not necessarily a replicable model in other places. So I want to highlight three things. First, we're supporting this because of the mitigation that Trust for Public Land is doing. We believe it will result in a net increase in ecosystem services on this property. That's incredibly important. This is one of the first projects out of the gate for Airport Futures. If that goal hadn't been achieved, we wouldn't be here today. It's incredibly important that we improve our natural resources, not degrade already degraded resources. Number two, jobs. We're doing this in the name of jobs. We need to make sure those jobs actually occur. It's easy to convert land, to upzone it, and talk about jobs, but too often that doesn't happen. What are the protections that are truly in place to make sure those jobs occur, that they're local, that they serve the community, that it won't get push-up warehouses? We talk about the need for 50-acre parcels. What's in place to prevent it from being subdivided into little, small parcels? We need to follow through and ensure those things happen. And number three, again, we don't see this as a template for other golf courses. We shouldn't just be dividing things in half, two-thirds, one-third down the road. We need to protect our open space. So all that being said, we're very, very supportive of this proposal specifically, and we look forward to working with Trust for Public Land, the city, the neighborhood association, neighbors, and other stakeholders, many of whom are here today, to develop a project that's environmentally sensitive and really equitable, really serves the needs of this community. Thank you.
Thank you. Afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council members. My name is Bill Saunders, Jr. I represent the owners of the Colwood Golf Course. We were here 5 years ago looking for rezoning of a much larger area. The hearings officer and the council felt that it wasn't balanced. The hearings officer gave high priority to environmental and open space values, and we agree at this point, obviously. Mr. Goldberg approached us, as Trust for Public Lands did the first time through. This time our ears were a little more open, and proposed something that I think not only serves the owners in terms of being able to use their asset for something that makes money. As you may know, golf is not making much money these days. And just for the record, while I'm on that subject, I will raise some constitutional concerns that if this is not proposed, we really don't have a way to use our property economically any longer. And so so that being said, we think that this is a proper way to move forward and keep our asset in a profitable state, but also serve the community with a beautiful big park. My family's been involved in the ownership of this property for over 50 years, and there's currently a bunch of cousins and family members that own little tiny pieces of it, and everyone's going to benefit in that regard. But the big thing that I'm really appreciating is that I'll be able to come back here and go on this property even after we sell it. I think it's in good stewardship with the Trust for Public Lands on the south half, the south two-thirds, I should say. I don't know what's going to happen or who's going to develop it. It doesn't much matter to me as long as it's done sensitively and with due consideration of the environment and the wildlife. So I want to support this project, and I want to thank Don Goldberg for all his hard work. I'm sure everyone in this room, or most of the people, have spent many long hours with Don working through the problems, working toward a win-win-win-win proposal, which I think this is for the community, for the state, for the city, and for the owners, and I ask you to support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Great. Thanks very much.
Next three are Jason Miner, Casey Jama, and Donita Fry. And they'll be followed by Marvin Bonta, Evans Martin, and Jim Magnano.
Good afternoon. You're on first, Jason.
Mayor Hales, Commissioner Fritz, Commissioner Novick, Commissioner Fish, thanks for the opportunity to testify today on Colwood. My name is Jason Miner. I'm the executive director of 1,000 Friends of Oregon. We're a 2,500-member nonprofit organization. We work around the state to promote healthy, livable communities, protect farms and natural resources, and to empower Oregonians to participate in shaping their community's future. As you heard from Tony DeFalco, we've signed on to the letter supporting the proposal in front of you today and supporting the recommendation that the One Park, One Model Coalition be engaged to work on Colwood Park, just as it has been successfully engaged in the Cully Park area. What I would add today is from the perspective of 1,000 Friends, is an organization that works to make the best use of land inside the urban growth boundary and protect natural resources. Residential neighborhoods inside Portland's UGB are constantly changing, and one of the results of good planning is we've created a very desirable place to live. But the city's investment in infrastructure, the infrastructure in a neighborhood that includes everything from parks to streets and sidewalks, has the opportunity to either empower the people who live there, to engage the people who live there, or to risk undermining the neighborhood fabric that already exists. I'd encourage you to take a look at the work that's been done on Cully Park and to look to extending that model to Colwood Park to make sure that we make the best use of the community assets that have stepped up to be engaged. In an era in which we're reexamining how to pay for everything from sidewalks to parks, public amenities funded by now declining revenue streams, we need to try this model, and not just on a small scale. There is a willing coalition stepping up to share the true value, the true riches of a city, the human capital of its neighborhoods, and I encourage you to take full advantage of that offer. They've also offered to attract new resources, and speaking for a nonprofit, I think that's a great opportunity and one that isn't always taken full advantage of by the city. Committing to a community plan future for Colwood Park is an opportunity in front of you today, and it's an opportunity to take a new step in planning, in governance, and in community inclusion. And I think it's a real model that the city of Portland could export around the country. Cities around the country are talking about what's next in planning. And while we've been a pioneer in the past on many aspects of transportation, land use, and planning, I think aspects of inclusion may be the new frontier in really progressive planning work, and I encourage all of us to take that next step together. Thank you.
Thank you. Jama, welcome.
Good afternoon, Mayor Harrells, Commissioner Nick Fish, and Commissioner Amanda Fritz. My name is Casey Jama. I am the Executive Director of the Center for Intercultural Organizing. Center for Intercultural Organizing is a grassroots organization working to build a multiracial, multi-ethnic movement for immigrant and refugee rights. We're a 100-member organization from 70 different countries represented our membership. I'm here today strongly to support the zoning change, and we also appreciate the trust public land for the hard work that they have done on this proposal. We also strongly support and request that the city to work with the One Park, One Model Coalition, Verde, Hacienda, CDC, NEA, to adopt the Let Us Build a Coley Park model by developing public-private partnership for acquisition, design, and construction for Colwood Southern Parcel, because we believe it's the right thing to do. Our organization's model is one symbol. People who are affected by issue must take a leadership role in solving those issues. And in this sense, we believe the coalition that Verde and the other folks built it in partnership is represented on that spread. I remember also for me, the first time that I came to contact in Oregon, I was in Mogadishu, Somalia, and we have the first Oregonian visited my house, and he left some magazines with us. And the first thing that I noticed was the level of how green this city is. That was the first thing that I cannot believe there's such a place that's such a green in this world. So I have a very strong sense of environmental concerns and this. But I think for me also, this is a project that's essence is really build this economic development with an eye on environmental protection, but also public use for parks. I also live across the street, one block, a park. I have two twin children. Hmm. They're 3.5 years old. You cannot believe just walking across the park and able to enjoy and work with them and support them. It provided me just an incredible opportunity, and I would like to extend those opportunities for the people who live in Colley neighborhood. I urge you to support this zoning change. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Afternoon.
Zongu Yetchabaiku. Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and commissioners. My name is Donita Fry, and I am employed at the Native American Youth and Family Center in our community engagement program. And I also coordinate the work of a grassroots advocacy group housed at DEA called the Portland Youth and Elders Council. The Youth and Elders Council's primary focus is on reducing poverty in Indian Country, and we've been working on community-driven processes to identify priorities and areas of focus to reduce poverty here in Portland, which is Indian Country, since 2004. NEA Family Center is located in the Colley neighborhood, and until recently, I was a 9-year resident of Colley, and so this project hit very close to home. I participated in the master plan design of the Thomas Colley Park project, and at that time, the community conversation really kind of went to this dream of what if we had access to the Colwood Golf Course across the street to build out some of the amenities that we needed there. And this project has gotten us maybe just a little bit closer to realizing that dream. I also wanted to honor the work of the TPL for the early engagement of community and stakeholder groups in creating and exploring the vision and potential priorities for the identifying a plan for the best use of this space. In my professional role, I have been involved with the Colley Boulevard Alliance, talking about the neighborhood prosperity initiatives, been engaged in the Let Us Build Colley Park project, the Living Colley Partnership, many projects that have really had testimony spoken to before, so I won't repeat any of those issues. But I think one of the things that was important that I wanted to bring forward was the great and unique opportunity that we've had to really recognize tribal perspectives in the way that we've been building the Colley Park and the tribal gathering garden build out there. I think that the suggestion of a zoning change here to this land really speaks to the unique opportunity we have as tribal people in stewarding our environmental resources and thinking of the great potential of creating connectivity in the neighborhood and really using this model of One Park, One Model that we really have been advancing in the work at Collie Park of using community-driven processes and community priorities and triple bottom line equity projects in our city. And so I really encourage your support and thank you for listening to our testimony.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
The next three are Marvin Bonta, Evans Martin, and Jim Mignano. And they'll be followed by Joseph Santos Lyons and Andrew, and I can't read the last name.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hello.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mayor Hales, Commissioner Nelvik, and Commissioner Fritz. It's a pleasure to be here. My name is Marcelo Bonta. I am the executive director of an organization called the Center for Diversity and the Environment. And we work to build a more racially and ethnically diverse environmental movement across the country. And we do that through leadership development, organizational change work, and community building. We also work with thousands of environmental leaders and agencies across the country who desire to more effectively work at the nexus of environmental protection and equity. We are also, the Center for Diversity and the Environment is also a signatory on the letter that Tony DeFalco referred to, and we support the zoning change. I also request that the city work with the One Park, One Model Coalition to adapt the Let Us Build Collie Park model by developing a public-private partnership for the acquisition, design, and construction of Colwood Southern Parcel, because it is a great example of equity and sharing power to deliver a needed asset, and it's a sustainable model through the use and the protection of open space assets. Also, the city is helping Verde, and Verde is helping the city create parks and benefits that the community needs. This is a sterling example of environmental protection that delivers social benefits as well and is a key to a sustainable future for us all. Lastly, I'd like to share that Verde, in our work, we do this work and we analyze and look at models and projects across the country that are working at this nexus of equity in the environment. And I strongly feel that Verde is at the forefront of innovation on how to protect and build open space. In the course of our work across the country, I often share the model of Verde and what they're doing at Collie Park, their broad partnerships, their community building, the empowerment that they're doing. And I cite it as a model for environmental agencies to emulate. The One Park, One Model Coalition is not only a model that should be emulated for the Colwood property, but I actually see it as a model for our future. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Welcome. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hayes and, Hales and commissioners. I'm Jim Mignano, Executive Director of Emma's Garden. And Emma's Garden is an all-volunteer 501c3 equitable food and economy group building a community-led market garden in Cully. Our first market garden to be built this winter in partnership with Habitat for Humanity, Portland Metro East, and Helen's View Homeowners Association will be the first of its kind in Portland. The market garden, run by Cully community members, will offer convenient fresh produce below market cost. It will also offer job training to un- and underemployed residents of and near Cully. It'll offer garden tours and service learning for schools and organizations and low-cost workshops for the public. I'm here today to thank you for the city's leadership and advocacy of urban farming and community building. Just over a year ago, you made our model possible by adopting the Urban Food Zoning Code update. So on behalf of Emma's Garden and our 30-plus volunteers, I encourage you to continue supporting efforts like ours to serve the Cully community. Emma's Garden has signed the Colwood letter and supports the zoning change. We request that the city work with the One Park, One Model Coalition to adapt the Let Us Build Collie Park model by developing a public-private partnership for the acquisition, design, and construction of Colwood Southern Parcel, because from Emma's Garden's view, we share the vision of building wealth in a low-income community, and Emma's Garden is doing just that with urban farming. Second, we're excited about the innovation that Verde has developed at Collie Park and want to see it replicated. And finally, we share the concerns about displacement of low-income people from the Colwood area. And replicating the model is an anti-displacement strategy because it seeks to engage low-income people and people of color in Cully, in multiple ways in the process of building new parks. So once again, your work has made our work possible before. So I ask for your support again. With the One Park, One Model Coalition, let us build Colwood together. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Evans Martin, and I am the Vice Chair and Land Use Committee Member for Cully Association of Neighbors, and also on the Verde Outreach Advisor team, as well as the Cully Community Market Group. And basically, I just want to thank you all for letting us come here and talk today, and all the good work that you've been doing in the city. And but right now, what's happening with Thomas Cully Park, I'm voicing my support for the zoning change. A lot of gratitude for Trust for Public Land and Don Goldberg and all the hard work that they've done making this project come to where it is now. And I would like to request that the city continue to work with the One Park, One Model Coalition. I think that it's been incredibly effective, and we'd love to see this partnership with the community groups as well as this government happen throughout the city. And I guess that's about it. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
The last two I have signed up are Joseph Santos Lyons and Andrew, I believe last name is Colas.
I don't see Andrew. Oh, there he is. Come on. Joseph, go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you, Mayor Hales, Commissioner Fritz, Commissioner Novick. My name is Joseph Santos Lyons. I'm the Executive Director of APANO, the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon. And I want to highlight two values that brings our organization here today. The first is the value that strong relationships are really the foundation for meaningful change. And our experiences as Asian and Pacific Islanders inspire our partnerships with each other and promote our coalition building in order to find shared solutions to our common concerns. And the second value is about leadership and how leadership must emerge from and be reflective of and accountable to the diverse needs and interests of our communities. So I'm going to skip ahead. We're also a signatory on the Colwood letter, and I just wanted to take a moment to ask us to think about the value of community-driven solutions. In our city, we have a rich history of leadership from the grassroots, and as we become more racially and culturally diverse, I ask us to be even more intentional in developing solutions that come from our communities and to not leave communities behind. Our communities are well served by solutions that come from people who are most affected by the problem. When we as city leaders engage in community-driven solutions, we empower and transform these communities, and there are many benefits from this relationship and cycle. We also request that the City of Portland work with One Park, One Model Coalition. We see this really as an opportunity to build the same kind of benefits that have been talked about by many previous speakers. This request recognizes and taps into the power and creativity that our community members can give to realize their vision for a better neighborhood. It also provides a clear mechanism for community and government to work together. We see this as consistent with the city's goals around equity, and you have such a great wealth of resources at your fingertips. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales, Commissioner Fritz, Commissioner Novick. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak here today. I'm Andrew Colas. I am the president of the National Association of Minority Contractor. I am also a business owner. We own a construction company called Colas Construction. And I'm here today to strongly support the zoning change before us. I wanted a brief history of National Association of Minority Contractors, NAMCO Oregon. It's an organization that's been in existence on a national level for going on 45 years next June. So it's an advocacy organization that focuses on advocating for opportunities for minority contractors. We appreciate the work that Trust for Public Land has done to bring us this zoning chain forward, and I think it's a really important step in bringing the zoning change to the Cully neighborhood. And we request that the city work with the One Park, One Model Coalition to adapt this Let's Build Cully Park model by developing a public-private partnership with Verde. I think the importance here, and you may ask, why are we here this early as far as the representation of contractors? I think that it's very important for us to all really focus on being intentional about creating opportunities for contractors. And I've seen what Verde has done with the Cully Park project. It's been very intentional, and we've seen really positive results there. And I think that City of Portland has long been a city in the United States that's recognized for sustainability. And really what I want to do is really start focus on social sustainability. That's an area that I think that we can continue to be leaders throughout the United States. And adopting this model, I think, really helps us take the social sustainability to the next level. So again, we strongly support the zoning change, and we strongly support the one park, one model. And thank you very much for the opportunity to speak today.
Thank you. Thank you both.
That's all who signed up.
Okay. So is there anyone signed up in opposition?
Yes, we have two people.
Okay.
Doug.
Is there a principal opponent? Is there an organization involved, or these individuals? So we're not hearing anybody volunteer to be an organization. Come up one at a time.
You have to give me more than 3 minutes.
We do for a principal opponent. So you can draw that straw if you'd like. All right.
Obviously, not a lot of golfers in the room today.
Just give us your name for the record and then proceed, please.
I'm Doug Lisi, and I live in the Kent neighborhood, and I've lived in Portland for 62 years, and I used to live right by the property, and I still go there quite a bit. I'm a 30-year homeowner and currently own a modest home in Kenton and pay $4,000 a year in property taxes, a little over, actually. And there seems to be a lot of joy in the room about this, but and we're kind of acting like it's already closed and it's just kind of a land grab and nothing's really there, but there's a viable business there with some people working there that have probably been a little stressed out about their jobs for the last year or so, so I hope everybody kind of takes that into consideration. I went to the hearing not too long ago, and on page 12 of the hearing thing, I have some of my points as to why this doesn't seem like such a great idea. And on page 27, the application does not specify exactly how the remaining 90 acres will be used. On page 28, there definitely seems to be that there will be a reduction of open space, 48 acres, which I've heard before said that's not much. That's actually one-third of that whole piece of property will be paved over, and I've counted almost 200 trees in there that will probably be blown over and paved over and a pond filled in so that we can have a few more industrial buildings. I'm not sure we need that. There was this application is not generated. This was on page 31 of this hearings letter. The application not generated significant public interest, at least against it, obviously. My thought on that is because Mr. Goldberg and Trust for Public Land has only, and I mean only, talked to the Cully residents and not the whole city. And I believe that this involves the whole city because it is so close to the airport and because of the size and as a buffer zone from the airport and as a green space. So I'm just wondering why we haven't brought this up to people in other areas of the city. And then to kind of close it up, my question is who's going to be paying for all the new roads, sidewalks, street lights, freeway off-ramps? If this northern 48 has changed, this seems to be like a lot of money involved trying to straighten this whole thing out. And then do we really need more industrial land at the expense of the couple hundred trees and a pond instead of a nice quiet green space, which it is now? And also about the geese, I've been there hundreds of times in 60 years. I've never seen a goose fly into an airplane. Maybe they've hit a couple. I've never seen any crash landing. So whatever this thing is about moving it, filling this in so the airport will be happier, I believe it'll just move the geese a couple yards north and they'll still be flying around trying to miss airplanes. And then my last point is if the Trust for Public Land takes over this land, what's it going to take for the city to buy it back from them? How much money will they make on that deal? And is there a guarantee that it will become public property when they take it over? And thanks for listening.
Thank you. Thanks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Harry Sanger. I'm here on behalf of the Sumner Association of the Neighbors, And thank you, Honorable Mayor and City Commissioners, for giving me some time here. As the land use and transportation representative of the Sumner Association of Neighbors, I represent the neighborhood between Northeast 82nd and I-205 on Killingsworth Street, including the southbound on-ramp to I-205. The Sumner Neighborhood Board and I support the overall proposal to rezone part of the Colwood Golf Course. We applaud the effort of our friends and neighbors in Cully neighborhood for a job well done. However, the traffic mitigation portion of this rezone proposal is not acceptable. As currently written, the traffic mitigation plan is located entirely in Sumner neighborhood, over 1.5 miles away from the proposed rezone site on Cornfoot Road. It requires adding a third lane to the southbound on-ramp from Killingsworth onto I-205. The traffic mitigation portion of the rezone proposal is unacceptable because approval criteria requiring neighborhood involvement and careful planning to enhance neighborhood livability were not met. As policy 3.5, the neighborhood involvement, and 2B4, to support the careful planning and design to enhance neighborhood livability. While it's true the Cully neighborhood was consulted, this traffic mitigation proposal resides in our neighborhood and directly impacts our livability, not Cully's. Our neighborhood association, our residents, and our businesses were never contacted, never consulted, and apparently never even considered as explicitly required by approval criteria. We in Sumner work hard to be good neighbors. Some of you already know us as good neighbors. We won the Spirit of Portland Award in 2010. More recently, Commissioners Fritz and Fish helped us celebrate the opening of the new Helen's View Community Garden this past March. In this case, we feel overlooked and left out. On June 20th, our Chair Scott Samahano learned about the on-ramp widening proposal via the Oregonian newspaper. On June 26th, he submitted comments on behalf of Sumner Neighborhood to the hearings officer, citing 5 specific approval criteria the traffic mitigation proposal did not satisfy. The final report makes no mention of any of those comments, and nothing was modified relating to the transportation criteria. After submitting comments, Scott contacted the Governor's Office, PBOT, ODOT, and BDS about this traffic mitigation plan. None of them could justify why traffic should be mitigated at this outbound on-ramp in our neighborhood rather than at or near the site itself. The proposal requires widening of the on-ramp, which is located directly adjacent to residential dwellings, before any permits can be issued to develop the rezoned property. Other approval criteria require directing traffic from north of the SLU, as this property is on Cornfoot, to the I-205 Airportway interchange. That's explicitly meant to prevent increased traffic through neighborhoods. Yet this mitigation plan directs extra traffic through our neighborhood instead. On a practical level, the benefit of this on-ramp widening is questionable. Specifically, it aids only outbound traffic from the new industrial site, not inbound. Sumner Neighborhood requests that the current traffic mitigation plan be replaced by mitigation at one of the other two locations closer to the rezone site itself. Such a change would both improve the efficiency of the mitigation plan and reduce its impact on Sumner Neighborhood. Failing that as a backup, Sumner Neighborhood requests that the current traffic mitigation plan be amended to explicitly require neighborhood involvement and careful planning to enhance the livability of residents whose homes and livability will be directly impacted at Northeast Killingsworth and I-205. Again, Sumner wants to be good neighbors. Please give us the chance.
Thank you.
Harry, if you had more time, and I'm going to be asking staff what level of engagement they had had with you over the course of this project, if you had some more time for this particular location for the mitigation, since there's already been a grant applied for, do you think, is it possible that you could come to some mutual agreement on what that might look like?
What we request is that we be involved and have some level of cooperation to have an input, because we feel like we've been completely left out and have not had a chance to work with the parties.
And was there ever a presentation to the Neighborhood Association? And presumably you didn't get notice because you weren't within a certain amount of...
As I mentioned, the first involvement we had at all was June 20th when our chairman read about the project in the newspaper.
And that was right before the hearing?
And that was, yes, 6 days before the hearing.
Right. Is there anything else you'd like to put into the record on this?
I don't believe so. Thank you.
Appreciate your time and bringing this to our attention.
Sorry, I know I said no. There were 2 other bullet points that I skipped over due to the time. One is that this concerns also the Columbia Killingsworth widening, and that is that one eastbound lane of Killingsworth is already a queuing lane for southbound on ramp. It does not cross the overpass into Park Rose, And at six lanes, Killingsworth is already wider than any of the arterials leading to it from Cornfoot, Northeast 82nd, Columbia Boulevard, and Alderwood.
That is a very difficult intersection. I got stuck in it for quite some time.
It is, and it's the northbound 205 helps add to that just as much as the southbound.
Yes, so indeed. Thank you very much for taking the time to be here today.
Thank you.
Thank you. So no one else signed up to testify?
That's all who signed up on that.
So I believe we should give the applicant opportunity to respond to any of the testimony that we've heard here, if you'd like to. And then we might need to call staff up for some further discussion.
Would you like to comment on all the tributes that were directed to you, Mr. Goldberg?
That was going to be my first comment. I promise you I didn't pay anybody off. And I doubt I'll ever have those that amount of positive reinforcement again. But I do appreciate everybody's support. And actually, I'm here to pass the mic to Mark Batorik from Kittleson, who is our consultant on the traffic mitigation and was key on and probably can answer some of the questions of the last person.
Okay. Good afternoon. For the record, Mark Batorik with Kittleson Associates, professional transportation engineer. We prepared the traffic impact analysis for this development. As far as how we came to the on-ramp improvements, Mr. Kruger indicated earlier there's a new element of the transportation planning rule. One thing I would remind councils and those listening is transportation planning rule looks at zoning over the next 20-year period and looks at the comparison of the existing zoning versus proposed zoning over a 20-year build-out. So we're looking at year 2035. And through that, the mitigation that was arrived at via the new transportation planning rule looks at the systematic benefits of what improvement benefits the system the most greatly when you're comparing these and coming up with one that you can actually implement versus, like Mr. Kruger said, piecemeal and put money into different pots. And as a result, that came down to the Killingsworth on-ramp. That improvement, while it does facilitate traffic going southbound, it also reduces delays at that intersection that benefits the neighborhood, the Sumner neighborhood, as well as the whole Columbia Slough, systematically looking at it as a benefit. Logically, sometimes because it's a mile and a half away, you say, well, how does that benefit? But when you look at the system as a whole, it's not always the impacts nearby. It's sometimes the impacts further away. So looking over a 20-year span, that's where it occurred and agreed upon by ODOT, ourselves, and the City of Portland, or PBOT. I would also note that all this improvement sits within the existing ODOT right-of-way, and as a result, those improvements will be contained within that right-of-way at this time. Thanks.
Further questions?
So did any of you been to the Cully Association of Neighborhoods?
You mean the Sumner?
No, I'm wondering first if you went to, into Cully.
So I've attended and presented to multiple Cully neighborhood associations.
And has anybody been to Sumner?
Not officially, no.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions for the applicant? Anything else you want to add?
I did just want to add that we did review the staff report and the revised recommendations from the hearing officer and that we're in full agreement with those.
Okay.
And then just maybe address some of the concerns from Mr. Lisi as well. You know, the need for industrial buildings, industrial developments articulated in your economic opportunity analysis recently adopted, which identified the need for large lot industrial lands. It's consistent with what we're providing. Public outreach was provided consistent with what the requirements are in your city code, as identified the pre-application conference we had. And as Don noted, he attended several CAN meetings to provide outreach and updates on the project as witnessed by, you know, the overwhelming support you saw here this afternoon. Aside from that, you know, we respectfully request your approval. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay, can we have staff back up? I get you to respond to the question about the mitigation projects. Obviously, this is a new version of the transportation planning rule that we're test driving, bad pun, here at the moment. So mitigation strategies are farther from the site. How do we deal with that?
And what has your contact been with Sumner?
Again, Kurt Kruger with PBOT. I'll offer a public apology to Sumner. This is a unique situation. We don't ask for mitigations that generally leave the notification area from a land use review. This snuck up on us as a unique situation. With that said, and not to provide cover, we do provide notification.